This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here. That's brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, we begin with there's a lot of moving and a shaking. We started the show talking about your fear of missing out, and that's because we already knew that Davante Adams made his way to the Jets. We already knew that Amari Cooper made his way to the Bills and immediately scored a touchdown on a play where
he didn't even know the play.
It seemed like he was Keon Coleman said that the play. He just needed a little bit of assurance. Yeah. But regardless, he turned to Keon Coleman, did that. What's happening?
Palms up.
With his hands palms up. And then was like, hey, just run a seam. Seam.
Okay, I can do that.
Josh Allen hit him touchdown. Right? You got that happening. Now you might have another even better move. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, DeAndre Hopkins, Nuke as he's known, obviously, spent a lot of time here in Houston. Bounced around Arizona, Tennessee, and now he will be playing with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Somebody on the YouTube was like, imagine going from Will Levis, in fact, they called him Jean-Claude Van Levis because of the Mayo commercials, to Patrick Mahomes. That's got to be a little bit of a shock in a way, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's the story, isn't it? I mean, he clearly is not the DeAndre Hopkins that the Texans had here.
Where he was just always open, even if he wasn't?
Toe-tapping on the sideline, high-pointing the ball like a champ, all that stuff. He's clearly not that, but he doesn't stink. I mean, he's had some bad quarterbacks.
He had a 1,000-yard season last year.
Yes, he had a 1,000-yard season last year, 75 catches. And that's – who were Tennessee's quarterbacks last year? I mean, I know Levis for a while, but, I mean, they –
Did Malik Willis get some time?
I think Willis
in there
played
as well.
Here, didn't he? He played here against the Texans. So,
like, he legitimately lowest success rate. Obviously, that's not not something that's as highly regarded. Not a great catch rate either for him, considering that he has pretty damn good hands as a wide receiver. Like, you give him an opportunity to advance some of those things and have better looks, better opportunities. He's capable of bringing those things
he
down.
He caught balls from Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill, and Malik Willis last year.
That's right. Tannehill's still.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, that ain't Malik Willis. That's the quarterback for Kansas City.
No, it is not.
That is not Malik Willis.
So. And it's also not Arthur Smith. Like, that's a part of this as well, right? Yeah. A coach that knows how to utilize his wide receivers. Although, funny enough, I know that there's kind of just been this natural inclination to go, oh, wide receivers go to Kansas City and they get better. And kind of, but not quite. Like, some of these wide receivers that they go and pick up have not necessarily, like, worked out. However, if there was one that I'd be willing to bet money would work out, it is DeAndre Hopkins with Andy Reid. So, yeah, that's going to be a little scary as, hey, that's a guy, that's a team that's on your schedule. Obviously, the Tennessee Titans are, but it changes that dynamic as well with Kansas City really being a lot of a running team this year. Now they add more to their running and defense, of course. Yeah. I love
Patrick Mahomes not having the best of year. What, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions?
Yeah, he's in the negative there. I imagine this will help him get a little bit better in that regard.
It's not the postseason.
I know.
It's not the postseason, and they will be in the postseason.
All they got to do is get there.
And, in the postseason is where really why they got DeAndre Hopkins.
Someone said, terrible quarterbacks, he might catch 100 yards a game with Patrick Mahomes at the helm. All right. It might be a little much, but also it might not.
Yeah.
We'll see what that ultimately looks like. And the Texans will have to account for that when that time ultimately comes later in the season. Elsewhere around the NFL, I saw this and I was happy that it ended up being kind of a note as opposed to like a big story. But we got kind of tweets yesterday that Andy Dalton, quarterback for the Panthers, who, I mean, he also has kind of been nothing to write home about on the field necessarily, but you definitely didn't want to write about him in this way. Dalton, his wife, and his three children, and their dog, in fact, were traveling kind of like 7 miles away from Bank of America Stadium, and they had a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole family in the car, right, all the way down to the dog in the car, but thankfully no one in the vehicle was transported to the hospital. So I think Dalton was evaluated by team medical.
Yeah, it sounded like it was serious, but not like a very serious
right.
Like it was an accident.
I mean, it was enough to let us know in that way, yeah. You know, with the immediacy that they did. And so Dalton, who's 36 years old, right, like mm-hmm. it just, that could have gone really, really terrible. And so you're happy to hear that. A guy that I think pretty much anybody likes. I don't know that there are people out there that hate Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to hear that there was not a real negative ending as it possibly could be with that situation.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you saw the reports and the pictures, and obviously, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So is Bryce Young starting? Or
that's a good
Andy
question.
Andy Dalton is starting. Don't is you think? He? I think.
Okay.
You'd imagine so. Like, depending on how shaken he up he is mm-hmm. when it comes to that, you ultimately would have to see. I don't think that they start Bryce Young. They did bench, or did they? Well, I mean,
no, he got some late reps.
He got some garbage time situation, but I guess they felt willing to put him on the field in that regard. I do mm-hmm. wonder if they're just in a place where they're not trying the Bryce Young thing again this year. If they come back to it, they try it again in the offseason, maybe into next season.
Or the season would have to be, you know, which it is already, some would say, but like,
yeah, I mean,
well at the end.
Right.
And, you know.
But again, then we come back to the, are you in a situation where you're telling the rest of the guys that are playing, hey, we do not care about what y'all doing out here.
That's fair.
Because I don't know how well that goes over.
Yeah.
They'll play the Broncos in Denver this weekend, so we'll see how that ultimately plays out. Some other things around the NFL. Running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs getting their money. In particular, Alvin Kamara is the latest one to get an extension. So the Saints being in cap hell, apparently not enough to make sure that they keep Alvin Kamara around. 2-year, $25 million extension. Relatively short, but it places him fourth on average annual value for mm-hmm. running backs. This is the right move, right?
Well, it is when you don't have any other moves. You know, like we've talked about the Saints cap hell this year and next year and the year after that. I mean, at this point, that's what I thought when I saw this. Like, well, what else are you going to do? I mean, you're here, right? You're not going to be able to retool by any stretch. So you might as well, you know, keep one of your best weapons around.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like they want to make sure that he remains as a Saint for life. I think there's something to also be said of, like, you have a quarterback who you brought in and it's kind of so-so, and sometimes I wonder if it's like an organizational thing of, man, that we could put on the tickets and on the banners and all those things. Alvin Kamara has absolutely been that to some degree. But then also, I think it points to one of those things where, I think I was talking about it with Sean on mm-hmm. Monday, watching Monday Night Football, while you see Derrick Henry go off and you go, hey, man, a lot of teams made good on, you know, taking advantage of the market where it feels like the market has gotten to a place where we've devalued running backs too much in some ways, especially
for sure.
High-end running backs. People are like, we don't want to pay that next deal. And so that's how Derrick Henry ends up out there, and the Ravens are like, we'll pay for it, and they see the benefits. Obviously, your Texans did that.
Yeah.
They went and got Joe Mixon, where a team was willing to move on from him. They're benefiting greatly from it, right? Mm-hmm. You can talk about Saquon Barkley. You can talk about Josh Jacobs. There's been a lot of these guys mm-hmm. that have found somewhere else after a team was not valuing them as highly. Seems like the Saints are in that place where they're like, hey, we value our guy. We're not letting him go and find a different level of success somewhere else just because we're not willing to do it.
I think that's a factor. I think another factor is, as I mentioned, you know, they can't really do much else as an organization when they have so much money invested in so many players. So keep this one. And I actually think Kamara likes it there. I think he likes
it. Not a bad place to be.
I think he loves New Orleans.
Especially if you got money.
He's from the South.
Yeah, if you got money being in New Orleans, great. If you don't, solid, but maybe not. You know, you might end up on the wrong streets here or there. But, shout out to Alvin Kamara. Getting paid. I mentioned that Monday Night Football game that we had, one of the two,
mm-hmm.
the one that I cared mostly about personally, which was Ravens-Bucks. And that one was a tough one, especially wide receiver-wise mm-hmm. for the Buccaneers, as both Chris Godwin and Mike Evans were injured in the course of that. How long, you ask, for? We got a little bit of insight into that. Chris Godwin is undergoing surgery for his dislocated left ankle, and he's likely done for the season, according to Todd Bowles. So that's a tough situation for them, you know, getting himself right in that way. However, Mike Evans, who I have described as building offense, Mike Evans, like the offense will go as long as Mike Evans is there.
Yeah.
They're hoping that they can get him back. So Todd Bowles described him, his situation as a moderate hamstring strain. And so he'll be sidelined, quote, a couple of weeks. And he likely won't return until the team's like week 11 bye. So they'll have to be, you know, 50% of their team's offensive receiving production against the Falcons in week 8 this week, Kansas City Chiefs next week, and the Niners 2 weeks from now.
Wow. But, I mean, you know, they're still in it. And frankly, if he does come back week 11, you know, that's not that far away. I mean, we're going into week 8, so that's pretty dang good news for Figgy's Buccaneers.
My Buccaneers.
Yeah, you were behind them to win the NFC South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still in the hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still there.
Yeah, good luck with
Baker
that.
Baker been playing pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm. Not without Mike Evans.
Yeah.
You watch that game.
That's something else now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you out here, you think you Johnny Manziel. I didn't get a rise out of you. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't go 100. You know, you can't bat 1,000, I guess, in a way. So we've been talking a lot about all the wide receivers moving around trade-wise, and it seems like another one is out there possibly. We got reports yesterday that not only is Cooper Kupp up for trade, it's the Rams that have been going around offering Cooper Kupp up for trade. First of all, just like, what is your reaction to hearing that the Rams are out here peddling some Cooper Kupp?
Buyer beware, right?
Okay, yeah, he's had some injuries that he's dealt with.
Buyer beware. I love his game. But how many really good seasons has he had? What, two? I mean, I'll call it up, but I mean, he's...
Oh, are you doing the thing where we're knocking Cooper Kupp?
Yeah. No.
Damn, he's been like...
How good is he really? He's been a fantasy star.
He has been
like the last couple
of
years.
He has been drafted in fantasy football an awful lot. And I'm not bashing on him because I think the reason is
you make the decision.
I think he drafted Cooper Kupp a couple times and then work out.
713-572-4610. Is Lopez bashing Cooper Kupp?
All right, let's go through it here. 2021, 145 catches, 1947 yards, 16 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was
sound pretty good.
He was on All-Pro that year.
All right.
Yeah.
Next 3 years. 812 yards receiving, 737
in nine games,
and only played nine games. That's part of it. See, to me, it's not his what he's done on the field; it's being on the field.
Sure,
that's why I say buyer beware.
Okay, yeah, no, the buyer beware. I understood.
Yeah.
You started getting into the. It felt like
is
you
he really that good?
Yeah, he ain't that good.
Yeah, that's what that was the thing that I had to
is
object
he overrated?
To.
He's all right.
And
no, that's not what I mean at all.
There's also like, and I might be doing a schism, so apologies if that's the case. There's also some of like the leader on the field type things. You know, he does have a good understanding of these offenses, and he seems like he's a quarterback's best friend in the way that he runs routes and such.
Yes.
So I do think that there's some value there, especially, again, with a big if of a caveat, if you can keep him healthy. He was asked about the news and the reports that were out there, and he said, quote, it is that time of year. There's going to be trade rumors. I let that stuff, as much as I can, be in the background. He said, I have a job to do here, and I take a lot of pride in giving everything I can for the guys in the building and being able to step on that field knowing that I have the best prepared, or I'm prepared the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, after 7.5 years, I've been an L.A. Ram. I have taken an approach every single day. Whatever happens outside of that, I got to control what I can control.
Well, I mean.
So he's ready to be gone now, right? Like, that's what that sounds
like. He's saying that he knows it's out there and he's preparing himself. And by the way. Less than a year younger than DeAndre Hopkins.
It's wild how that happened. The way that we view age and washedness in these sports is kind of funny because we were talking about Devin White, who the Texans signed today. I still haven't seen the details on what that contract looks like, but I imagine it's pretty minimal. I mean, that's a dude that, you know, did not get any burn in Philadelphia early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's 26, and, you know, we're looking at him like, man, we haven't seen him play good football in a long time. It really just, that framework of how high was your peak, how long was your peak, and, you know, how far away has it been? And we can really get into some places talking about some dudes that are relatively young and look around and be like, nah. They are cooked. They are cooked product.
And we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins like, yeah, and I said it. You know, not quite what he used to be, but you know, put him with Mahomes, and we'll see what happens.
Right,
he was born June 6th of 1992, Cooper Kupp was born June 15th, 1993. So a week older, a year and a week older.
I do wonder, like, and of course, context always matters. How do we talk about a DeAndre Hopkins trade if it's not to that particular team?
I think differently.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody, 832, are the Rams also trading their offensive line? I don't think so. However, hey, Nick, I know you're listening from when we were talking about Candy earlier. Go ahead and give them a call. Not that he wouldn't, right? I feel like Nick is probably really diligent in doing all those things. But I wouldn't mind kind of grabbing a guy or two off of that offensive line. But again, it just feels like offensive line is one of those places that it's really hard to get a team to come up off of.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, brought to you by Quick Assist. Coming up next, I have a question that I feel like we haven't talked about a ton. And I mean, it has to do with the schedule. Did the schedule makers try to screw the Texans? I'll tell you what I mean. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard Big Voice, man. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, rocking with you on a Wednesday. We'll be giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops in the 12 o'clock hour, so keep it locked right here. Appreciate to them.
You saw all the cool stuff they had.
Man, it was cool stuff. And for me, as somebody who is not an avid griller or anything like that, it is cool seeing what that grill will produce. That was one thing, because it's not just the grills that they have and the food and the appliances or like the you know, kind of tools that you use. Mm-hmm. They also got like some of the food that you might have.
They
like,
got meat.
They have the meats. There was like a sausage with jalapeno and and cheese in it that they cooked up. That they keep on stock.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
It's funny being in places like that. It make you want a grill.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Even if you're not a cook or anything.
100%.
Like, you know what? Let me get this $12,000 grill or something.
Yeah. The problem for me, and it's not a problem, it's a good thing, is that I don't got nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
I don't got the disposable income, let's say, right now.
It's essential. It's an essential item. Cook outside, man.
Outside where?
I know. You saw me yesterday.
I don't have nowhere to
put
it.
You can't do that in no apartment, though, man.
Just have it in the living room.
Where there's a will.
I dealt with that. I remember that. We had a grill out there. I couldn't cut no brisket out there.
No, that's fair.
And shout out to 713 who said they bought a Traeger. Thanks for the 10% off. Yeah, while we was out there.
I saw them carrying that.
Yeah, so
look. I got three grills and I was looking at one. That might be a problem.
Look, I'm not. Yeah. I don't know if I should say it like quite like this, but we gonna be back out at a Texas Star Grill Shop at some point in
first week of November, I believe.
I believe so. We'll be back out there relatively soon.
That's around the corner,
and I can't say for certain that they will do a similar promotion, but like,
oh, I can.
Hey, you know, maybe start budgeting so that you can get yourself a little discount next time the loop pops out.
Yeah,
there.
The OG put something on it.
Yeah, he'll help you out.
Throw a couple dollars on that grill.
No, I'm working on my own, man. Didn't you just hear me?
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Here we go. This I felt kind of interesting. It's talking to some folks. I think I was talking to Sean about it too.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I had not at least given enough thought to it, and I do wonder how much other people have given thoughts to it. Did the schedule makers try to screw the Texans? And the reason why I say that is, obviously, we know that there is that stretch at the end of the season that we've talked a lot about,
mm-hmm.
which, hey, man, you're going to come up against the Chiefs and the Ravens, and the tough thing about that is that you're going to have 3 games in 9 days, if my math serves me correctly.
I believe it does.
Because you have a Sunday game, then. That one is, oh, goodness, I done lost
it. Saturday against the Chiefs.
Yeah, Sunday game before, then you come back around to Saturday. The Sunday game is against the Dolphins, that's right, on the 15th of December. Then you come around to the Chiefs on that Saturday on the road, and then you come back home and you face the Ravens on Christmas, which is a Wednesday. Mm. That's a tight schedule.
Mm.
That's not the only one of those you have.
No.
You are currently in the midst of a 3 games in 10 days situation, right? You have the Packers this past week, the Colts this week on Sunday, and then the Jets on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not easy situations, making those quick turnarounds. And particularly, obviously, the one later in the season, you got some real heavy hitters. But in the course of this, you got a couple of teams that you have the Packers, who you just played, and obviously you lost to. That's a really good team in the NFC. The Colts are a division game, and we always know the division games can get a little wonky. And then you come back around, the Jets on the road.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You're going to not only on the road, you're going to New York on a Thursday. And we all have seen those gambling, trends and all that. You know, road teams on Thursday nights are, well, it's true. I mean, they're not fake news.
It's just hard. Yeah. It's hard to get yourself prepared. And then you have the travel when that other team doesn't, which even shortens that week for you because you got to travel the day before.
You can't do nothing
on Wednesday, really, right? Like, you really, it hampers you. So having two of those, like, obviously the benefit is, that means that your team is more prominent, more visible.
Mm-hmm.
But in building the schedule the way that they did, like, that is a thing that's really going to hit at the Texans in some ways that I don't know that we've talked a ton about.
No, we haven't. But I think it also sort of it resonates a little louder now because the Texans are in such a crucial point of their season that we didn't know this was coming. Like, we didn't know they were going to have these injuries and they were going to have a suspension on the defensive line and they were going to have, all these issues with the offensive line. I mean, they were somewhat questions going into the year.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like the worst time to be in 3 games. You know what I'm saying? That's part of it to me.
Yeah, that's a great point because it would be one thing if you were just playing to the level
the beginning of the year.
If you're playing to the level, not even just that, if you're playing to the levels that we thought the Texans would be. 3 games in 10 days, it's tough on the body or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's cool, right? You just get in, you do your game planning, you get there. But it feels like they also need to fix things. How many times have we talked about the, hey, you need to figure out schematically, what works with the guys that you have there, right? Yeah. You need to, if some change need to be made, at the very least, there needs to be some self-reflection, some self-scouting, right? Yeah. And on top of that, hey, does there need to be some moving around? And if there is moving around, right, do you need to get guys up to speed on what this different position does and all those things?
Right.
You simply, you already, in the course of this season, you don't have a lot of time, right? We talk about the schedule and we get really used to it, which is, Monday, recovery day. Tuesday, you have a day off. Wednesday, you're back at the grindstone, getting yourself up to speed. Thursday, we're doing a lot of practice, the physicality of it. Friday is a walkthrough. Saturday, you're either traveling or there's the regimented nature of this. And that's another part of this where I feel like the schedule makers might have been trying to screw the Texans a little bit. Teams are creatures of habit, so much so that if you have like that Saturday game that you're going to have with the Kansas City Chiefs, now teams will get to the point where they'll call Tuesday, well, this is our Wednesday, right? Because they're so used to that habit.
Yeah.
Man, when you start getting Thursdays and Wednesdays in here, like, you're really skewing all of this, and that shifts how all of this works.
Yeah.
On top of the idea of getting ahead and planning for the teams that are coming, as we talked about, you have some difficult teams.
Yeah.
It gets a little tougher. And so Nick Caserio, I found this to be a really interesting cut in his meeting with Vandermeer and Harris, as they do, is it Coffee with Caserio, I believe, or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday on Texas radio. They asked him about, like, how with the quick transitions, like, how the scouting goes to get yourself ready for the Colts and then the Jets moving forward.
I mean, the focus is obviously on the Colts, but we also have other people in the organization that are ready for the quick transition, to your point. Because after the game, then the next day, we have 2 days before we leave to head to New York to play a good Jets team. So the coaches will focus on Indy. You'll have operations staff and scouting staff. We'll go through the advanced process and start to get ready for New York. work and some of the mechanics that are involved there. So you try to stay ahead of the best of your ability, understanding you have a short turnaround. So we'll have to handle Monday and Tuesday, maybe a little bit different than we normally do. Wednesday's a travel day, and then you play Thursday, and it's a long trip. Like you said, it's 3 and change, 3.5 hours, whatever it is. So, but you're always trying to kind of plan ahead. You understand when the schedule comes out, that's going to show up somewhere. So now we can put our action plan in place and kind of get ready to go.
See, for me, like all what he said is obviously accurate, but to me, like the 3 games in 10 days, if you're good, if you're a contending team that you know feels good about your squad and its health, it doesn't really matter to me. Like that's what happens to good teams. You have Thursday night games, you have Saturday games, you're a featured team.
Yeah.
When you're good, you know, the Chiefs play every day of the week except Tuesday this year. Think about that. They play on a Monday and then Wednesday through Sunday. This year, at some point in the season, if you're good and you're healthy and you're with and you're one of the teams that can look, you know, like one of the premier teams, you almost don't care. You deal with it. Well, the problem that I'm looking at right now with the Texans is, yes, we thought they would be good in a lot of these areas, but right now, I just mentioned it, all the issues and even the injuries, like Nico, you know, soft tissue. I believe. Who else has the groin? Jimmy Ward? No. Yeah, Jimmy Ward,
yeah,
has
Jimmy
the,
Ward
has the groin.
Yeah.
So the injuries come into play. And then the offensive line comes into play. Oh, and by the way, in 3 games in 10 days, you're trying to throw a new linebacker into the mix in Devin White.
That
you know?
Yeah.
And you're trying to get D'Angelo Ross right. You're trying to get, you know, all these things. So that's where it becomes bothersome and troublesome for me. It's not just if you're a good team and healthy and all that, you just do it, you know, and you withstand it and you hopefully, you know, win those games. But if you're a team that's sort of scuffling, might be a little hard, but sort of searching, that makes it a lot more difficult.
Okay. And I appreciate y'all pointing out the fact that I was doing bad math. 3-11.
Oh,
is what I was doing there. Yeah. This is the proper right.
Nevertheless.
Somebody said it's the first time team plays 3 in 10 days. And again, 3-11, as I misspoke or just counted improperly, it can't be healthy for anyone. That's the nature of when you get these midweek situations. That's how the NFL is built. So, like, it is a fair question to ask if it's healthy, but it's one of those things where the NFL is getting so much money for these Thursday and midweek
games.
Give
a damn.
It's just what you got to deal with it, right?
No. Like, hey, boys, we planned on a Friday.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're good, you're going to get these games. And you just do it because the NFL is not going to change.
But the fact that you get two of them in two of these stretches is the thing that I found to be interesting. Now, I would like to take all of the, I guess, anxiety that we kind of built up in the course of this segment. And please allow me to release it if possible. this particular stretch that you're working with, obviously you had the Packers. And the Packers were what they were. I appreciate greatly the work of Ben Baldwin. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of analytics stuff, including EPA, which, you know, is one of the things, the statistics that I appreciate greatly in trying to understand football. And he did a ranking adjusted for the defense or adjusted for the quarterbacks that they played against, a ranking of the defenses in the NFL. And first of all, if you would like to know where the Texans fall on this, they are 7th quarterback adjusted. So feel good about that.
Yeah.
Then also the next 4 opponents that the Texans do indeed play. The Indianapolis Colts are 28th out of 32, right? And we kind of knew that from seeing them play.
Yeah.
28th defense, quarterback adjusted. Jets are 22nd, funny enough. Mm-hmm. So that's the back end of this
particular. That big bad Jets defense?
Yeah. They are bottom third at the top edge of that bottom third of the defenses in the league. Mm-hmm. Detroit, funny enough, 16th. So kind of middle of the road defensively. We knew the defense is something that they've been trying to get better at. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys are 21st. So like this stretch. And out of that stretch, defensively, you're not seeing the toughest challenges. The only thing about that is, like, your offense needs to find a way to get right in some way. So maybe this can be a get-right game, a get-right period, but at least the scheduling of itself, or of it itself, I think it adds another challenge to the ones that you're already working with.
No doubt about it. And it doesn't take into account, like, how their defenses are playing lately, which I think Indianapolis might be feeling a little better. Certainly, I think Detroit might be feeling a little better. But overall, you're right.
Someone said, I guess the Texans should have been bad last year so they don't have this top-rated schedule.
This is what you want.
Absolutely.
It's just kind of a bad time. Can we do this later? Because it's kind of a bad time for us right now. That's what the Texans need to say.
Well, yeah, man. The Texans continue with the Colts on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we continue to move towards that. You'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including Some more news outside of just the World Series for John Lopez's Dodgers. a gargantuan.
That needs
figure.
To end.
Well, the World Series. World Series will go for about, I don't know, a week or two, and then you can get out of it, maybe. But yeah, gargantuan figure pass. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And I think we have to start with a, well, I guess before we start with a somber note, because I don't want to start with a somber note. Somebody said, Reggie, you can get an electric smoker in the apartment, because I was talking about how I just can't do that. And then also someone asked for update on Christian Harris. We're not really getting any. Like, I think Aaron Wilson earlier today gave us a little bit of what I will term as news, even though the using the word news kind of, it moves away from the word new, because I don't think that it's very new. It's just not much is happening there. Although we did hear that Jeff Okuda is making progress from his 2-month hip injury.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. I bet you did, right? As we talk about the idea of being what, 2-3 weeks out from trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Cornerback is one of those things that I think is on the wish list for everybody watching these Texans. Jeff Okuda is one of those guys that I'm sure they're hoping, I mean, they went and acquired, and they're hoping will be helpful depth-wise for their cornerback room. He apparently is, fast returning or nearing returning for the recovery. He is not being designated from return this week, though. So, but we are supposedly getting closer in that regard. But yeah, Christian Harris with his calf is not designated.
It's just not looking good.
That's all we got.
I mean, let's just say it ain't looking
good. Is he alive?
It ain't looking good for the year.
I believe that he is alive. That is something that I feel like.
I ain't got no weekend of Bernie's going on, dude.
Yeah, no, well, the football equivalent maybe, but it ain't great. It ain't looking good for the year.
Yeah, so I did want to give you that. All right, now we'll take the somber tone. Although, we could take a celebratory tone.
It really is. It is a celebratory tone.
Unfortunately, Mexican-born pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Fernando Valenzuela, died yesterday at the age of 63. He died in a Los Angeles hospital, but I don't think we got any details as to what the cause of death ultimately was. But this is a dude that's near and dear to your heart in particular.
Well, not just that. I mean, I think, like, if you take a step away, yes, near and dear to my heart. Somebody texted earlier, hey, did you ever see him pitch for the San Antonio Dodgers, where he started? The answer is yes. And it wasn't quite that phenomenon, you know, minor leagues, whatever. There's a kid out there, you know, it's 18, 19 years old. But here's where it matters the most. And I don't think people fully appreciate this, because it was 40 something years ago. And I'm saying this, and I really, since I mentioned it this morning to Sean and Seth, I really thought, like, the greatest phenomenon in sports in my lifetime. I don't think there is anything that compares to Fernando Valenzuela.
Johnny Football.
Oh, come on. And you know, look who I'm saying.
That's why I was. I'm just trying to think of things that, like, lend sanity for a couple of weeks. I don't know that you can really
not even
compare
close.
That quite in the same way. I'm trying to think of any other phenomenon that, like.
Yeah, like,
it,
just an absolute. Mark the Bird Fidrich was like a mercurial kind of guy that took the. Like, and let me explain it for those who weren't alive or don't quite fully remember. The LA Dodgers, you got one?
It is me that was not alive.
Yeah, okay, you raised your hand.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make it abundantly clear. I recognize.
You weren't alive. Let me explain this, because people are going to throw out stats out there, and they're incredible. We've seen a lot of players with incredible stats. People are going to throw out, the Vin Scully calls, and we've heard those, and that he threw a no-hitter. We've seen those things. We've heard Vin Scully on some amazing calls and all that. What people don't realize, like, the Dodgers right now, in terms of the Mexican-American, the Hispanic-American community, are right up there, if not at the top, of the most popular teams for an entire culture in America, for an entire, you know, an entire fan base. They're at the very top. What people don't realize is when they built Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine, it was smack in the middle of a very densely populated Mexican-American community in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they raised a lot of.
Yes.
Not when you say in the middle, it can be easy to kind of miss that. they raised a lot of houses in order to build
that
stadium.
They got rid of a lot of people.
Yes.
And thousands.
Yeah, that is something that in the history of America,
yeah.
a lot of things happen in order to make big events like that. And Dodger Stadium is no different.
They displaced thousands of people from the communities that were in their family for generations. Mexican Americans hated the Dodgers. Like, hated the Dodgers. Wouldn't go to a Dodgers game to save their life. And then Fernando Valenzuela comes along. And the phenomenon that he was, and again, I mentioned stats. Let me just throw the most amazing one. His first eight starts with the Dodgers, okay? 0.50 ERA. 8 straight wins. Went 9 innings in every start. That's head-spinning numbers. But we've seen head-spinning numbers before. It's what he did. Like, what he did for the Hispanic American community and Los Angeles. You go to a Los Angeles game, Dodgers game now, the majority of fans, and I'm not talking necessarily like, you know, around the diamond on the lower level, the majority of Dodgers fans now are Mexican American. That is a phenomenon unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah. In thinking about this team, you know, Clint Yates he loves baseball, a student of the game. He made a statement that I had to sit with yesterday for a little bit, and I'm still thinking about it, so I want to toss it up to you. He called Fernando Valenzuela the most important Los Angeles Dodger of all time. Now, of course, you move away from the Brooklyn Dodgers because it's going to be hard to sell that when it comes to Jackie Robinson.
That would be the one, right?
Yeah.
Because
a lot of the similar things you're talking about with the Mexican-American community, obviously you can talk about with the African-American community, with Jackie Robinson and baseball and such. But, I mean, you think of maybe like Sandy Koufax?
I think of the last 50 years.
Okay, if you add that additional.
Probably in sports. And I don't know. I know that sounds like a kind of a bold statement. I lived it. And I was, you know, in college in 1981 when he was rookie. By the way, rookie of the year, Cy Young winner, and World Series champ in the same year. I mean, it was stupid. And people think, you know, maybe he was something of a flash in the pan. Nah, he threw a no-hitter in 1990.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... It is a huge loss for a lot of people, but it also is sort of, like you said, a celebration of maybe the most transcendent, you know, paradigm-shifting athlete of our lifetimes.
And, I mean, I think relatively recently, speaking to kind of the medical status of him, apparently he had, you know, kind of just taken a leave of absence from his job being on the Spanish broadcast for the Dodgers. And so I guess there hadn't been a real idea that this was coming, but still sad to see passed at 63. Someone asked the question, is 63 gone too soon?
And
it feels like 63 is probably,
I think so,
probably gone too soon. Rest in peace to Fernando Valenzuela, a very important Los Angeles Dodger, John Lopez's favorite team. some other things that are popping. You took a lot of pleasure in this particular moment. I think that this ends up being a little bit of a polarizing topic in some ways, not in that it's like it's angry, but I think people end up on one side or another. And that's LeBron James and Bronny James Jr. checking in and playing for the first time in NBA history, having a father and son playing on the same time.
All ready? You see the intensity, right? Just play carefree, though. Don't worry about mistakes, just go out and play hard.
That's LeBron on the bench.
That was awesome.
Making history.
That was a dad.
That was the cool that I thought was. That was the thing I thought was interesting. It was simultaneously a dad and a vet talking to his rook.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's just get out here. Have fun. Do what you know you can do. But yeah, I know how you feel about this, but tell the people, how'd you feel about this moment?
Okay, so first of all, that was a dad, and that really impacted kind of how I felt about it. Because I've been of the opinion, and you guys have heard it, like, it's contrived, it's silly, it's probably, you know, it's not really impactful. I don't know how good Bronny is ever going to be, and he's not good now. All that said, I really enjoyed this. Like, I really enjoyed watching this. And maybe that was it more than anything as a dad. Like, you could just like, man, that's pretty sweet. Like, that was cool.
Yeah, that's how I felt the whole time, actually. Because at first I was kind of like, man, what are they doing? But after a while, I just took the basketball part out of it. and just kind of put myself in LeBron's shoes as, dang, I got my son with
me. Yeah.
And we on the same court playing professional basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Bronny probably not going to be that good.
That's what I'm saying. Just, I get all that.
Just being in that moment, mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, that got to feel good for yeah. LeBron.
Yeah, but and I'll be the bad guy here. That's fine. I just don't feel like it was earned. Like, I hear what you're saying. You're not wrong.
Well,
in
I
that.
Agree with that.
Yeah. And you could tell it wasn't because he played 2 minutes and 40-some seconds in yeah. the second quarter, and they promptly pulled him out, right? He got a rebound. He had an opportunity to put up a shot. You could tell there's an instance where the floor was cleared, and it was just LeBron and mm-hmm. Bronny, and they kind of worked their way into some two-man game where there was kind of screen and roll potential, and you could hear the building
yeah.
kind of fill with anticipation, like, oh, man, something's going to happen. And nothing did. And I think the juxtaposition of having the Griffey's there, Ken Griffey mm-hmm. Sr., Ken Griffey Jr.
That was
there,
contrived. That was kind of weird.
A little bit as well. But yeah. then I think also it highlighted just, oh, man, this is different. You compare this to them dudes hitting back-to-back home runs.
Yeah.
You know, it just felt different. And, of course, someone mentioned earlier the idea that, hey, don't forget the Gordie Howe played with his sons as well. Gordie Howe played until he was about 83 years old, I think.
He did.
But, no, he does deserve some credit for that and for being that great. But, yeah, I think that those things, if anything, it highlights to me just how high of a level LeBron continues to play at.
That, too. That, absolutely. Now, trust me, in a week, hell, maybe in a few days, I'm going to be back on that other thing. I'm going to be back on that. Okay, this is silly.
Yeah. If they keep talking about, because yeah. the part that bothered me out of all of this is every time they bring it, this is history, guy. They yeah. brung it up during draft night. This is history, guy. They brung it up in preseason.
Yeah.
This is history. And they brung it up again. I'm just like, all right, man.
Yeah, no, no.
This is cool, but we ain't got to keep. Well, it ain't got to be a big
no. Story. Like I said, I can almost promise you in a few days I'm gonna be back on that. like yeah. this is silly. Just end it now, you know. But last night it was just cool. It yeah. was cool to watch.
Yeah, especially if you. I mean, if you're a father, that probably meant a lot.
Yeah.
If you don't know, the Lakers end up getting a win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota. They got some figuring out to do. And one thing I realized in the course of this, and maybe this should be my confession, is that, watching Julius Randle play basketball still annoys the hell out of me. the Lakers will start the season 1-0. And then also, Sam Houston State is bowl eligible for the first time in its history. Obviously, it only recently made its way to the FBS, division of college football. But in doing that, I'm going to be completely honest, just looking at the box score, looked like kind of a rough game to watch. A 10-7 victory over Florida International and Sam Houston State. 6 wins, and they will go bowling for the first time in their history.
I told Reggie this before the show. I checked in on that game, which is kind of weird, but the only reason I checked in is I was like, this can't be live, right? Playing college football on a Tuesday. I'm like, is this a recording?
Yeah, we've gotten to a replay.
Man.
A real interesting space with the way that college football is. We're pushing more and more of these games. We've moved into Fridays, but then also like Mac and those types of things have always been utilizing the idea of Tuesdays and Wednesdays to try and get games where they're not competing
yeah.
with the rest of things. So, but no, salute to Conference USA's Sam Houston State. They will go bowling this season. 6-2 right now. More wins to go, but a 10-7 victory over FIU. All right. Just want to remind you when it comes to college basketball season is around the corner. Don't miss your chance to catch the Houston Cougars men's basketball team face off with your Texas A&M Aggies Lopez in a charity exhibition game this Sunday, October 27th. It's at 4 p.m. inside the Fertitta Center. Grab your tickets now for just $35. And even better, the proceeds will benefit those affected by Hurricane Beryl right here in the greater Houston area. So call 713-GO-COUGS or visit uhcougars.com/tickets to get those tickets now. All right, coming up next, do you agree with Mina Kimes, her worry about this Texan team? She has a very particular thing that she's worried about. Plus, we'll talk about if the AFC is indeed better than the NFC. We'll talk about all of that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.